Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 15 tonight, would you please? And would you stand together with me as we open the scriptures together? I'm going to read a part of one of my favourite parables here in Luke 15 and verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father, we thank you we can approach you not only as the living God, but indeed as our Father. We come before you to seek your face and to look for your blessings this evening through your word. We ask that you'd teach us by your Holy Spirit, that you'd challenge us, that you would search us. Father, we ask that you'd strive with our hearts and draw us nearer to you. We look for your blessings. Pray that you'd enable the preacher. We pray, Lord, that you'd quicken the minds of each hearer, that we might hear with open ears and open hearts and allow God to work in us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Back at Crossroads, we're doing a series on God and looking a little bit at the person of God. And I just love this passage because this is all about God. In fact, if you see from Luke chapter 15 and the early portions, you'll see that we have three parables and they refer to the three persons of the Trinity. The way God deals with man and the way man responds to God. And we see in our parable we just read here of the Father. An expression of God the Father and how God works with us as mankind and draws us into a relationship with Him. The key thought there is that of relationship, and God wants you to have that living relationship with Him. In the first parable here, it's the parable of the lost sheep, and we see Jesus there, the second person of the Trinity, as He expresses Himself as the Good Shepherd. And the good shepherd goes and searches for the sheep, and the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ giving Himself a ransom for many. The key of that is the principle of redemption and God's work in Christ in bringing people back to Himself. The middle one there from verse number 8, the parable of the lost coin, refers to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we see the woman who lost her coin and she goes seeking for it. And we see that she turns on the light and she sweeps the floor. And we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit as He brings sinners to God, as He illumines the truths of the Word of God and brightens the way that we might see Christ. And then He deals with the issues that are in our lives as He gets out the broom and sweeps away the dirt of sin in our lives to bring us to a place where we can come to Christ. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is that He might convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And in so doing, brings us to the Savior. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all working together to bring mankind, lost sinful man, to God, to salvation, to bring us to Himself. So this evening we're going to be looking at the missing link. The missing link. You don't look around. We're not looking at somebody in the corner here. We're not going to bring anybody out and suggest that he's the one that's been found. And we're not talking about the subject of evolution this evening, but something that's often found missing in the lives of those who we see in churches all across the world, indeed, maybe even in our own churches. An element that is missing in the lives of many, and indeed at times in our lives as we approach God. And we're talking about the subject of repentance, the missing link in many lives. As we look in this parable of the Father and the sons, we find that if our emphasis is understanding that God wants us to have a relationship with Him and He reaches out to mankind to bring us to Himself by the work of Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God brings men to Himself. But we look at the heart of the issue. And I want you to remember the word this evening. The word is choice. Choice. Now, God created you to be a person who can love. God gives you the liberty of love. I often have used the example with people to say, I don't love my toaster because it toasts just the way I like. We cooked some toast when we got to where we're staying at Nelson Bay, and the toast was somewhat dark. It was not acceptable, and it wasn't burned, it was just dark. But we adjusted a setting, and it produced toast just to our liking. We don't turn around and say, my beloved toaster, you do things just the way I like them. That's not the response of a love that is innate from the toaster to me. That's not a loving response. Now, God could have made you and me as mechanical workers who just respond to the controls of God. God could say love back, and we could mechanically and rote, we could love God. And that would be, well, we would all be doing the right thing. Wouldn't you love that? But without love. And how empty is that? And just because I turn a setting and my wife turned the setting and made the toast come out right, I would get it wrong again. I wouldn't know where to turn it, but she knows. But the toast comes out right, there's no expression of love. God gave you the liberty of love. Now, the downside of that is because love is based on choice. there is the liberty to sin. And as I have the liberty to choose God and choose to worship God and to love God and to seek God, to choose to honor God with my life, and God says, that is just wonderful. I love seeing you love me, and I love being loved of my creation, and I love that response as any parent understands when their children love them responsively and by choice and by their own free will. But as we notice with our children, God notices with us that there was a choice to sin. Sin is the issue. When we come down to our standing with God, sin is always the issue. When Adam sinned, he made a choice. It was a simple choice. There was God's way and there was Adam's way. There was the way that God had placed before him, and there was the way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is always two ways. There is always God's way and my way. Adam established that. Adam chose my way over God's way. It's a simple choice. But Adam made the wrong choice. The issue is that of sin. So when Jesus came to bring us to God, he dealt with sin. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, because sin was the issue. And if sinful man might be reconciled to God, then sin must be dealt with. And then when the Holy Spirit of God comes and ministers in our lives, he turns the lights on and exposes sin for what it is, and then he gets out the broom and brushes out the dirt, and everything is seen and cleaned away, and he convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. Sin, it's an issue. You know, there are people today, gospel preaching individuals, who say sin is not the issue of repentance. I tell you, repentance is all about sin. Repentance is all about sin. Because sin was the issue between me and God. As in Adam, all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Adam, what do? We inherited sin. It's by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And mankind was in sin, and the only way we can come back is to have sin dealt with. And the issue of repentance that we look at tonight is dealing with sin before God. And we as individuals need to make a choice, and God calls it repentance. Simple choice, but it's a choice. Sin is the transgression of the law, and the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, because it tells on me when I sin. And God gave us an alert. It's our conscience. And whenever we sin, it rings bells and it says, you're in sin, you're in sin. There's an issue between you and God. You know it, you hear it. Until we grieve the Holy Spirit and we grieve God and we deaden the voice of our conscience. But we see the Father here, and his sons are distant from him. And his son decides he's going to pack up and go into a far country, and there he wastes his substance with riotous living. This is the expression of sin. This is the expression of a man who is severed from his father. The relationship has broken down. He's looking for selfish pursuit, and that's what sin is all about. You call it what you like, but God calls it sin. We call it a mistake. We call it enjoyment. We call it entertainment. We call it a lot of things. Many people call it worship. God calls it sin. When we're going our way rather than God's way, when we're pleasing ourselves rather than God, God calls it sin. Sin is that issue that keeps coming back. You know, the world that looked all glitter and glamour, and it looked like it was offering so much, as he goes in and wastes his substance with riotous living. It's in that same world he finds emptiness. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And you see, there he was in the world finding emptiness and dissatisfaction. And even there, that country kept controlling him, bringing him to a point of utter waste and destruction. To the point where he said, I fain would have filled my belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Now here we've got a Jewish boy. The Lord Jesus uses this to emphasize a point. It's not fun for you and I to feed the pigs. I fed the pigs when I was a boy. We had pigs. I didn't mind feeding the sheep, but I didn't like feeding the pigs. But if you were a Jew and you had to feed the pigs, then you were at the bottom of the barrel. And Jesus emphasizes that this guy had gone as low as you go. He was out there feeding the pigs. And he was perishing with hunger. Sin looks like it's pleasing. Entertainment's good for a time, but it leaves a yearning and a longing in our soul when we're empty in the end. It's interesting that the good shepherd went to seek the lost sheep, and the woman went to seek the lost coin. But the father never went to seek the lost son. You know what I find is that God is absolute. God is unchanging. God will not say, I'll leave my throne and I'll follow you down to where you're at. Worship me on your terms, but worship me. No, God stays where he is in his place and waits for man to make a choice. As the Father waited for the Son to come to the end of himself and in simple humility, in repentance, to turn to his Father and come home. That's what repentance is all about. It's not coming on my terms. It's coming back to God's terms. The unchanging God waits for the return of sinful man. You know, how is it that sinners have the nerve to live and enjoy sin and turn around and blame God for making them sinners? Wouldn't it be more appropriate to receive that this is a God who in love saw my sin and paid the price to bring me back to God? Wouldn't it be more appropriate to look and thank him for mercy rather than blame him for judgment? The righteous God who already stated in Adam, the day you sin, you'll surely die. That's not my fault, that's your choice. But then moved to bring Adam to himself. He's the same God that judges all mankind. The Bible says that God's wrath is on the sin of all mankind. That's not God's fault. We have a God who is moved in compassion to bring men to himself. It is God's fault that men get saved, not God's fault that men get lost. God is the cause of salvation, not the cause of sin. God is the Savior. He's not the sinner. Don't blame God. It's our choice that leads us to destruction. What a foolishness it is to blame God for the things that we do, rather than recognize that God moves to bring men to himself. We call God the author of sin. He calls himself the author of salvation. We have a God who lovingly draws people. See the heart of a father broken for his son who's gone astray, but waiting for him to come. And at the first sight of his son who's returning, the heart of this father moves and he goes out to his son and gives him the best of all and rejoices for his son was lost and now he's come home again. We have two sons represented in the parable. Sons by birth. The story, if you read the beginning of the chapter, was about Israel. They could all quote that they were the children of Abraham and the children of God, but not by new birth, only by birth. You know, we can all say we're the children of God, God created us, but we're not children by new birth, just by birth. We all need to be born again. And Jesus spoke in verse number 1, they drew near to him all the publicans and sinners to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. They thought they were just, and these were unjust. And they thought it was inappropriate for God to care about these sinful men when men of high degree like they themselves were in the presence. Why would he not spend time with them and speak to them? The heart of the Father. Gary Richmond was a zookeeper. He wrote a book called The View from the Zoo. And as he referred to his view as a zookeeper, he said a 30-pound raccoon can be equal, if you're having a fight, to a 100-pound dog. Don't get in a fight with a raccoon. But he said at about the age of two, they have a glandular change takes place in their body. Now that's unlike your wife, and that's unlike your children who at 2 years of age go through wonderful stages, all of these things. And he made this statement. He said, after 24 months of age, they often attack their owners without any provocation. He had a friend named Julie and felt compelled to mention this to her as she had a pet raccoon. He was something like 18 months old, and he said to her that at the onset of about 24 months of age, there's this glandular change takes place, and very possibly he may attack her. Politely, she listened as he explained the danger, and her answer was this: "It'll be different for me." She said, "Bandit wouldn't hurt me, he just wouldn't. He wouldn't hurt anyone." Her pet raccoon was very friendly and loving, and she enjoyed time with Bandit, and Bandit wouldn't hurt her at all. 3 months later, Julie had plastic surgery for facial lacerations that she received when her adult raccoon attacked her for no apparent reason. "It wouldn't happen to me. It just wouldn't. It's all good to me." You know, sin looks friendly, but it comes to destroy. Sin looks loving until it turns on us. The destruction of sin is something we rarely see coming. We are taken as this man with the riotous living of the world and wonder what went wrong. Sadly, many people in churches live as the prodigal who wastes his substance with riotous living. Many people, even within the doors of the church, are in fact in the far country. Hearts are in the world, and feet follow where hearts begin. Many people grow up in church and never get saved. I grew up in church, but was not saved. I'd made a profession of faith, but something was missing. I loved God. I went to church every week. I read my Bible every day. I prayed. I believed in Jesus. I didn't have a problem with who God was. I didn't have a problem with any of the truths of the Scripture. I believed them all and genuinely loved Jesus. I believed the gospel, but the problem was there was no repentance. I'd never come to a point where I understood that sin was a problem between me and God. I knew that Jesus died for sin, all was well. I wasn't that bad. I loved God. I was born in a Christian family. She'll be right, mate. I'd prayed the prayer. I was living the life, but there was no repentance. I remember the day when God spoke to me and challenged me about sin. I remember when the day for the first time, indeed the only time I could remember to date, that God got a hold of me to the point where I almost choked on my Adam's apple for the guilt of sin as it overtook me. When God brought conviction of sin in my life, then I turned in repentance and I was saved. There was a day when I chose to turn from my way to God's way, and then all of a sudden it made sense, the gospel that I'd believed for so long, that Christ died for my sins, and that day I not only believed the gospel, but I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Huge difference. A huge difference. You see, when Paul says I preached the gospel, this is what I did everywhere I went, to the Jews and to the Greeks, I preached the same message. He said I preached repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. For somebody to come and say I believe in Jesus does not indicate Bible salvation. You see, unless there is repentance towards God, there can never be faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ in truth. We can believe in Jesus, as every religious person in the world will do, to his own degree and to his own understanding. He believes in Jesus, but something is missing, and that something is Bible repentance. Unless sin is the issue, salvation is an impossibility. Unless they understand their position as being separated and judged for sin, then they can never trust Jesus. They can say it was a wonderful thing that Jesus did. He died for our sin. I love God for all that he's done. It's a wonderful Savior that we have. But unless sin is the issue, salvation is not relevant. Repentance is when I choose, not Jesus, but God the Father, instead of my way, God's way. Exactly what occurred in Adam's life is reversed by repentance. When Adam chose against God for himself, he chose to go my way and the way of self and all that encompasses within that. It doesn't matter what sin it might be, it was all wrapped up in my way, the way which seems right unto a man. Repentance is a change of mind, it's a change of heart. It's not me fixing myself, it's not dealing with my sin, but it is a change of heart, a change of desire from my way to God's way. As I turn around and approach the living God, there is no way that I in my sin can come before God. And there comes the answer of the gospel. You see, the gospel is a useless message if you're not a sinner. Why does Christ die? He dies for sinners. Why does the Holy Spirit of God convict of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come? To bring us to a Savior that can deal with sin. Repentance brings me to a place where I'm ready to embrace the good news of Christ. But folks, we want to preach Christ without preaching sin, and we can't do that. Sin is an issue that Christ dealt with. Sin must be dealt with. Sin is what repentance is all about. God comes along and he says, why will you die? I'm placing before you life and death, a simple choice. Therefore, choose life. Sin is drawing us away into its own way, to our way. Repentance is a change of mind. We heard this morning that we should love the Lord our God with our heart and soul and mind and strength. When our mind is off in our way, we can never come to God. We need a change of mind that brings us to God. The mind needs to come in simple submission. Acknowledge the issues of sin. The other brother, well, he said, I don't need anything. I'm your good son. Here I am. I've always been here doing the right thing. When sin was not the issue, he never could have salvation. What was the difference between Cain and Abel? It was not sin. They were both sinners. One turned from sin to the Savior. He embraced eternal life through Jesus Christ. God challenged Cain and said, sin lieth at the door. Rather than deal with sin, he dealt with his brother. God is serious about sin. He's serious about judgment. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things, And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Why do we accuse God when the fault is mine? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Hell is a declaration of the reality that God is holy and God is righteous to judge. And God's not playing games. God is serious about sin, who will render to every man according to his deeds. You know what? It's all about me and what I've done. Can't hide from God. Don't tell me repentance is not about sin. Repentance is all about sin. God wants to bring sinners to himself. Speaks of repentance for the remission of sins. He brings sinners to repentance. The constant repetition of Scripture is that sinners need salvation. Sinners need repentance. I like Luke 13. There were some Galileans there, and they spoke of an event which was a current event in their time. Pilate had taken some people, killed them, and mingled their blood with the sacrifices, a mockery of their worship. Jesus says, "Suppose ye that the Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall also likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance is all about sin. It's a turning from my way and sin to God. A man was reading about a diet. It was the eat all you want diet. Now you want to hear about this one. And then he said to his friend, "I knew there'd be a catch to it. You have to run 700 miles a day. You can't have an eat it all diet and still lose weight. It's not possible. And we can't have our way and come to God. It's not possible." You may have heard of Scofield, who wrote the notes in the Scofield Bible. He was challenged to receive Jesus as an unsaved man. And even as an unsaved man, he said, "You know what? Even I know that I can't have Jesus in one hand while I love the bottle in the other hand." He said, "I love my drink more than I love God. How can God save me?" He had to make a choice. God calls that choice repentance. There was a day when I repented. I made a simple decision. I understood that the way of man, the way of self, leads to destruction. And I turned and came to God. This man in this story, he repented and he came and he said, "I'm going to go to my Father." He came to himself. He said, "I'll go to my Father and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee." He didn't come saying, "I forgot who you were." He said, "I've sinned against you. My sin is an offense before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm nothing. But for the grace of his Father, he might well have been put aside. But in mercy, he was brought into his Father's presence." Sin cannot be excused nor ignored by the holy God of heaven. Forgiveness is offered, but only a reality when we accept in repentance and faith the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So there was a day when I repented. The simple question this evening is, was there a day when you repented? When you made a choice my way or God's way, and received Christ and were saved. Now you say, I repented once, but I still find sin. And so we come to a new principle. The Bible teaches us, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You know what? The principle never changes. God is holy, and only God's way matters. And God wants to draw you into a loving relationship, even though you're born again by the Spirit of God, if you've trusted him. The same issue creeps out of our lives. In Romans, we read of a living sacrifice, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You know what we find as a sacrifice? Maybe as a believer, you say, I see the reoccurrence of sin in my life. It happens. We don't need to just grow out of it. You don't grow out of sinfulness. You don't grow out of selfishness. Christians don't grow out of their old life. They die to it. There's only one way that a Christian can come back to the Father, to enjoy the relationship that he offers. The only way is the same way that we got saved. It's repentance and faith. And we walk with that day by day. The living sacrifice comes in a simple yielding of myself to God. Surrender. Not my will, but thine be done. Repentance from my way. So I get up in the morning and I feel cold and indifferent towards God. What do I need? I need repentance and faith. I need to draw my attention to my Savior. I need to get on my knees and say, God, I'm indifferent to the things of God. I'm selfish and sinful. Don't wait till it becomes an external issue. Deal with the heart. Let the heart be drawn into fellowship with God by simple turning, by a simple choice. It's a daily choice. You need to make the choice there. I love the psalmist as he says, bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. And the picture is of a ram being taken and he's put on the altar, and they had horns up the corners of the altar, and the ram wants to hop off before it's put to death. So they'd grab a leg and a rope and they'd tie it to the altar so it couldn't hop off, and then they could put that ram to death. And God looks at me and he says, Brad, you've got issues in your life. There's selfishness, there's sinfulness. You're off doing your own thing. Oh, I just want to do my thing. I want to go my way. But yet my heart so desires the blessings of God. How's it going to happen? I'm going to come back and I try to die and I keep climbing off the altar. And maybe yourself, you've recognized that you keep climbing off the altar. Bind the sacrifice with God. Lord, keep me on the altar. Keep me at a point of repentance, a willingness to yield my will to yours. You say, I've got a will that I just don't have a strong will and I keep giving in. No, that's not because you don't have a strong will. That's because you've got a strong will. You're making a choice. Every time you sin, you make a choice. You say, it's all right for Pastor Haddad. He's strong. He doesn't get tempted like I do, or he's out there. No, he makes choices. Choices that keep him where he should be. He dies. Paul said, I die. Every day I die. My will must come into submission to God. Paul didn't feel like getting stoned and left for dead. He didn't feel like being rejected every place that he went. He only undertook these things because he died to self-will. He yielded to God. He allowed God to have his way. Oh, to have the blessings that the Apostle Paul had. But he only had them because he died. He made a choice. Believer, is sin a problem in your life? Repentance, the missing link. often ignored, often irrelevant, come before him in simple submission. Lord, have your way, not mine. Let God touch your issues. Let him put his finger right where it hurts and say, yes, Lord, you can have that. Whatever it is that you bring up as your way, that's where you need to yield to God. That's the part of you he wants. That's the part of you that keeps you from fellowshipping with God, keeps you from the blessings of God. We ought to want to let God have his way. A simple repentance and faith.